Job chapter 9 while you're turning. Thank you to those of you that are visiting with us for being with us today, and pray that God will be a blessing to your heart. You would look here at Job chapter 9. We're going to read from three separate chapters, very short verses, all with the same idea. Job chapter 9, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should a man be just with God? How should a man be just with God? Look over at chapter 15. He asks it in a little bit different way, or states it in a little bit different way. Chapter 15 and verse 14. What is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water? And then he states it again in Job chapter 25 in a little bit different way. Now, Job is not the one speaking in every one of these verses, but this is a theme that runs throughout the book of Job. Job chapter 25, and look at verse 4. How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? How can man be just before a holy God? Another way you could rephrase the question is, how can a sinful man who is unclean, defiled, corrupt, broken, polluted, how can that individual be right with God? How can man be accepted by God? How can man have a right standing before God? And you'll notice that in the verses we read, there's an idea implied here that there's a problem with man. He's unclean. Now, I think these questions, though rarely entertained by people in our modern day, are some of the most important questions that you could ever personally ask yourself. How can I be made right with God? How can I be declared righteous, positively righteous, in the sight of a holy God? Because I believe that everyone needs to be made right, needs to be justified, if they are actually going to enter into the presence of God in heaven and escape the penalty that the law of God requires. The penalty is, if you don't do all that the law requires, you die in your sins, and you're judged for your sins for all eternity in the lake of fire. So it brought me to think some more about this question. How can a man be just? How can he be made righteous, especially when you consider what we are by nature? I mean, have you ever actually honestly looked at yourself and probed within? Now, for me, that's been a very painful process through the years. Because I've been quite a terrible sinner. But have you ever considered how sinful and rebellious that man can be, and yet by a miracle of God's grace, somehow be declared righteous and just and legally acquitted of all wrongdoing and condemnation before the judge of the universe. How can a man like me, who is by nature sinful and wicked, span the great gulf that separates me, a lowly sinner, from a perfect and righteous and holy God as revealed in the Scriptures? That question is very profound. It's profound when you consider that the writer of Job, who's recording the conversations of Job and his three friends, this was something that weighed on their mind, something that they entertained. This is chronologically the oldest book in the Bible. You see, I believe that the writer of the book of Job understood and knew that in order for God to be perfectly just, He has to punish every transgression of His law. God is not at all unfair. In fact, He is perfectly just. His holiness requires that He punish every transgression that the law demands. If God would forgive men without exacting punishment, without satisfying the penalty that the law demands, He would no longer be fit to be God. He'd be just like a judge that takes bribes, that overlooks and is guilty of injustice. But God requires absolute and complete obedience to His holy law from all men, every day, every moment that you live. You and I are responsible to obey every aspect of the moral law. And there are no exceptions. Man must be declared legally just and free from the condemnation of the law if he is to be accepted by God. So this brings us to a doctrine that is well known. I mean, if you've been saved for any time at all, you should know what justification by faith is all about. Baptists have been contending for this all the way back to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Baptists have always believed, biblically, that there's only one way that you can be justified before God, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice. So it's a very important subject in the Bible. Justification is that aspect of salvation which consists of the deliverance from the guilt and the penalty of sin. Now, it's unique because when you're talking about the word justification, you're talking about a legal term. So, it is the legal aspect of salvation which one has a right standing before God as His lawgivers. If you're just, as your lawgiver. If you're justified, it means that you've been declared not guilty, that the debt that you owed to the law has been paid by a qualified substitute. And of course, that is Jesus Christ. He is the one that justifies us before God. Justification is a position. It is a standing that the believer enjoys. Listen carefully. It has absolutely nothing to do with moral improvement, but with judicial standing. In other words, you can't work your way out of being unrighteous and unjustified. The problem is this. You're a sinner. You're broken. You've rebelled against the law. And if you say, okay, I'm gonna shape up. Today, from this day forward, mark it down. April 15th, 2018, from here on out, I'm going to observe the law, every aspect of the law, all the moral law. I'm going to obey it all, every minute, every day. I'm not going to put any gods before me. I'm not going to make any graven images. I'm not going to take the name of the Lord my God in vain. I'm going to observe the Lord's day with great punctuality. I am going to honor my parents. I am not going to steal or kill or commit adultery. I am not going to covet anything from this point forward. Now, for one thing, you're lying. Because you know, and I left one out, ironically, thou shalt not bear false witness. Because honestly, if you really look at yourself and you know who you are, you know that you've put other things before God even after you've been saved. To me, the real kicker that blows up the whole thing is not just the first commandment, but the 10th commandment. Because you've coveted a lot of things in your mind, in your attitude, in your actions. Man by nature is pretty discontent. He wants something beyond what God has provided him with. But again, if you look at yourself, you have to conclude, I've broken all 10. In some way, shape, or form. Here's the marvel of this to me. How could it even be possible that God would accept me, a sinner, broken, committed sin against the law of God? How could I ever be made right and actually enjoy the presence of God and delight in fellowshipping with Him and ultimately spend all eternity with Him? How can a man be just with God? A man that has broken the law. Now, back to my hypothetical question. Or a hypothetical situation, you say from here on out, that's it, Brother Ross. I'm raising my right hand. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna be perfect from here on out. And let's say you actually did it. Every minute of every day, your attitude, your words, your actions all matched up with the tenets and principles of the moral law. You still wouldn't get to heaven. Why? Your old sins are unaccounted for. All of those sins that you have committed up to April 15, 2018, you still owe a penalty for them because you've broken God's law. And believe me, God is not some hypocritical, bribe-taking judge. He will punish every single transgression and every single sin. Now, I only got a couple points this morning, but number one, why this question is posed and why it has to be answered. Well, Job and the writer of the Gospel of Job. There is the Gospel in Job, but the writer of Job knew that God was infinitely righteous and that man was totally sinful. He knew that from the fall of man. And this is true. Whether you acknowledge it or not, doesn't make it any less true. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man does not measure up to the perfection that the law demands and requires. But this question has to be answered. God requires absolute and complete righteousness from every person. Every person is under obligation to obey the moral law of God perfectly. The moral law is God's standard of righteousness. And in order for a man to be righteous according to the law, he has to observe every aspect of the law, obey all of its precepts, not just in an outward show, but also inwardly, in his thoughts, his motives, his desires, his affections. Inwardly and outwardly. You have to be perfect according to the righteous demands of the law in all things without fail. Now, you rarely hear that preached in our world today. I mean, let's face it, you can't even find a sinner today. You know, you go out visiting and you talk to somebody and they have no idea why they need to be justified. I mean, I'm an American. Man, I'm making America great. I brush my teeth. I pay my taxes. What do you mean, a sinner? People really have no idea what the law requires and what sin it really is. Sin is the transgression of the law. And when you understand the depth and the breadth of all that the law of God requires, then you have to, it should become glaringly apparent that all men fall miserably short of God's standard of righteousness. So, if you're a sinner, if you're broken the law, if you're unrighteous, how in the world can you be just with God? Well, religion says this. Religion says reform. Religion says observe some ceremonies, some rituals. Do your best. Climb the ladder of good works. Try to make your good works outweigh your bad works. And hopefully it'll all pan out in the end. In other words, religion says, do the best you can to perform some good works and hopefully God will let you into heaven. I mean, that's really the crux of most religious systems. It's based on you. It's based on your works. Yet we know that the Bible says you can't be justified by your works. You can't be justified by observing the law, even if you did it in its entirety to some degree. And you know that the Bible says that in Romans chapter 3, that there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that are just apart from God, apart from Christ. In fact, Romans 3:19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Galatians chapter 2, and of course the book of Galatians was written to refute the idea that you could be saved or justified in a legal manner by your deeds, by your works, by your performance. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Well, the negative answer is right there. How can a man be just? Not in and of himself. Not by his personal works or performance. It's impossible. You can't be justified by the deeds of the law. Now, that's the negative. But man not only fails, the sinful man not only fails to measure up to God's righteous standard, he actively rebels against the laws of God. He defies the law of God. He snubs his nose at the law of God. You see, lost men are not only void of the righteousness that the law requires, but he is also completely sinful before a holy God. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Romans 3, 10 through 12, there's none righteous, no, not one. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that seeketh after God. There's none righteous. So sinful man is in a pretty terrible dilemma. He's not only unrighteous and unjust before God, he doesn't care about the righteousness which God requires. And I wonder how many people have ever been troubled over the idea that living in unbelief is just one day after another of continued rebellion and law breaking against God. I think this is why the writer of Job asked this question in three different ways. How can somebody who's unclean, who is unrighteous, how can they be just before God? How can they be justified? How can they be made right? You realize that the thrust of all of Scripture, the themes of Scripture, all converge on one central truth. You know what that is? There is a way that man can be made right with God. And it's through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. In fact, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you want to get to God, you have to go through Christ. He is the way of justification. So that brings me to my next point. How can a man be just with God? I can answer clearly. From what is revealed in the greatest book that's ever been known to man. The truths of the Holy Scriptures have brought peace, reconciliation, forgiveness and transformation to countless millions through the centuries. In order for sinful man to be declared just by God, two things have to happen. Number one, there must be a perfect fulfillment of all that the law requires. That's the base. The law has to be satisfied. The requirements that are set forth must be met if you're going to be just. Number two, there has to be a satisfaction that the penalty of the law requires. The soul that sinneth, it must die. So in order for you and I to be justified, we must have a qualified representative who works this righteousness personally in his life and then is willing to be punished for our sins. You don't know people like that, do you? Very rare that you find anyone that's willing to pay for somebody else's sins or transgressions. This is why the gospel is a revelation of God's love in the sacrifice and the person and the work of Jesus Christ. There is only one individual in all the world who has met these two conditions: complete fulfillment of all the law and a willingness to satisfy all the law's demands as far as punishment goes. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our representative, the representative of all believers. Now, in order for Jesus Christ to justify sinful man, He had to be a sinless man as well. But that's not all. Jesus Christ is referred to as the only begotten Son of the Father. He's eternal. He is declared in John chapter 1, the Word was with God, the Word was God. So in a miracle, God literally became incarnate. God became a man. And in that human body that had no sin, Jesus Christ fulfilled all the law. Perfect obedience. He said, I always do those things which please Him. You know, even if you were an atheist, you'd have to admire the quality of the historical Jesus. Even if you were an atheist, you'd have to say, well, there's never been anybody like that who would be willing to give up their life on behalf of others, who would be willing to go and heal people and feed people and help people, and encourage people, and forgive people. There's been no one like Jesus Christ in all of human history. Now, I believe what the Bible says, that Jesus Christ literally fulfilled every aspect of the law as a man. And when He went to the cross, because He was divine and human in one body, He was able to satisfy the law's demands, not just for one person, but for all who would ever believe on Him in time. Now this really makes me ponder the strength and the magnitude of Christ's love. Like I told you, God has made me aware of
What a horrible sinner I've been. And to think that all of the sins that I've ever committed, all the wrongdoing, all the things that I've thought wrong, said wrong, done wrong, blasphemies, rebellion, using the Lord's name in vain, lying, all of those things, every single sin that I would ever commit was placed upon the body of Jesus Christ as He was dying on the cross. And all of those sins that I've committed, I am worthy of the lake of fire. I am worthy of the most heated, infinite justice that the law demands. I admit it. And to think that Jesus Christ would positively fulfill all the law, cheerfully obeying all of its precepts, and then going to the cross for no sin of His own. He was holy, harmless, separate from sinners. He had no guile in His mouth. He had no sins in His person. But He went to the cross for somebody like me, and not just for me, and all of my sins, but all who would ever believe from Adam until the last person is saved. All of their sins were heaped upon Him. I think it's one of the reasons why when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, in His humanity He cried out with strong crying and tears, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me." He understood what was about to happen. That all of the sins of all of His people and all of the punishment that they deserved was about to be unleashed. He was to bear it all. And yet, with a voice of submissive victory, He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." He was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He was falsely accused of blasphemy. Why? Because I'm a blasphemer. He was taking my place. He was acting as my substitute. And yet, He never defended Himself. He willingly, they stripped Him of His clothing and they began to torture Him with a whip. They plucked His beard. They spit in His face. And then they nailed Him, hands and feet, to an emblem of shame and execution that was well known in its day for the height of cruelty and punishment. And Jesus Christ, on the cross, willingly, lovingly, voluntarily took the sins of all of His people and bore them in His body and suffered the equivalent of the eternal wrath that I personally deserve and that all the wrath that everyone who will ever be saved personally deserved. The amazing thing about me being made just with God He not only bore my sin debt and put it away. You know, the easy way to define justification, now God looks at me just as if I'd never sinned because He sees me in the righteousness of Christ. So there's not just the negative of justification. He not only took away all of my sins and the penalty that was due me, but positively He imputed, again, another legal term, He imputed or charged to my account His own personal righteousness that is called the righteousness of God. Does that humble you today? That Jesus Christ would be willing to pay in full your sin debt, but go beyond and give you His righteousness. The very thing you need to be justified and to stand before a holy God. He was willing to do that. He was willing to endure and satisfy all that the law demands. And it's one of the reasons why the Bible condemns the idea that you can somehow be saved by your works. Because your works can never compare to what Jesus worked out. And the righteousness that He secured and purchased, that's the only work God accepts. And I love the verse, I mean the whole book of Romans deals with the very subject of justification, but I love Romans chapter 3. Where it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. My justification cost Christ His life, yet it's freely given to me. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not saved are we by trying. From self can come no aid. 'Tis on the blood relying, once for our ransom paid. 'Tis looking unto Jesus, the Holy One and just. 'Tis His great work that saves us. It is not try, but trust. No deeds of ours are needed to make Christ's merits more. No frames of mind or feelings can add to His great store. 'Tis simply to receive Him, the Holy One and just. 'Tis only to believe Him. It is not try, but trust. And you know, this is a theme in the book of Acts when they preach to sinners who were guilty. They said, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by Him all that believe are justified from all things, from which He could not be justified by the law of Moses. The Lord died for me. He paid my sin debt.
He rose again from the dead for me. And He gave me His positive righteousness. I don't know about you, but this is a subject that deeply humbles me. All of my sins were charged to Him. He became legally responsible for all of them. And in exchange, He freely gave me His righteousness. And now I am accepted with God, accepted in the Beloved. Now I have peace with God. Tonight, I'll pillow my head with full assurance that I've been made just. I've been made right. My sins are forgiven. They're put away. I have a right standing before God because of Jesus. And all my sins have been forgiven. I have free access to God. And one day, because of God's plan and purpose and Christ's work, I will spend all eternity rejoicing in the love and the grace and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you know Him today and the free pardon of sin. Because I'll be the first to tell you there's nothing greater in all the world than to know that God has made you right in Jesus Christ. Let's all stand.
Page number 79.